For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, so we thought we'd tell you a little bit about our families first.
My name's Nina, and I became a Christian when I was a freshman in high school, and I was actually raised in a non-Christian family, and my family was Unitarian Universalist, which is just a religion that what's good for you is good for you, and you kind of discover your own truth. So I didn't really hear much about Jesus growing up at all whatsoever until I became a Christian my freshman year. And so I got a burden to actually start reaching out to my family members when I was a junior and senior in high school because none of them were Christians. And so I have my dad, my little sister, my twin brother, and my stepmom over in this corner. And then over in the right corner is my mom. And so I've actually seen my mom and my stepmom both receive Christ in the past few years, which has been really exciting. And then I've seen my dad move from being really hostile and against God to actually kind of curious. And we've studied the Bible together, and that's been really cool. And we've actually talked about the things of God. So we've seen a lot covered in the past 6 or 7 years with my dad. And then this is my favorite family picture. It's my dad, my stepmom, my sister. And then me and my brother couldn't show up, so they like had to cut out a picture of us and bring it in. It looks like we died in a car accident. But that's my family, so.
All right, this is my mom and dad on the left and my kids and my husband on the right. And I also was raised in, well, I was raised in a church that didn't teach the gospel. And later, when I came into a relationship with Christ, I found out that my mom actually had received Christ at some point in her life, but she had never walked. So I had the privilege of being able to, when she got diagnosed with cancer, it caused her to really want to walk with the Lord. So I had the privilege of being able to help her learn what it meant to walk with God. And then my dad was sort of like a really long-term situation. Like I talked to him numerous times about the gospel. I shared the Bible with him. We read some books together. And it was a very up and down kind of situation where I could never tell whether he had moved at all spiritually. In fact, we would have a great conversation. And then the next time we would get together, it would seem like I was back at square one. And then when he came to the end of his life, we actually did pray together, and he received Christ. I don't know if he received Christ right then or if he had before from one of our conversations. It was hard for me to tell, but I know that he definitely did talk to God and receive Christ at that point at the end of his life. And so it was like a very long-term kind of marathon. I call this the marathon kind of relationship where there were numerous good and bad conversations and numerous times that we talked, and it took a long time to ever get to a place where I could say with confidence that he was going to be going to eternal life with God. So one of the reasons that we're talking about parents is because the reality is that family impacts us deeply. And so for some of us, family is very important. Like Desmond Tutu says, you don't choose your family. They're God's gift to you as you are to them. So maybe some of you guys come from a family like this, where you all get along and you all wear the same clothes and have all this family unity. But for others of us, family is very difficult. As George Burns says, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. For some of us, the fact that we didn't choose our family, we don't have any, you know, we don't have a decision in that process, so we get what we get. And family can be very difficult at times. Like this cartoon shows, I'm sorry, Simone, but grounding you isn't enough punishment. I'm afraid you'll have to be seen with us in public. Sometimes, for some of us, family can be a very difficult situation. But whether you come from a family that's very close or from a really kind of disunified family, the reality is that family weighs heavily on us. We have long-standing relationships with them, and that means that we love them even though they are difficult, and so that it's important for us to think through what God wants for them and for us as we're trying to reach them. So the reason that we reach out to our family is, of course, because of the Great Commission. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so we have this great promise from God that he's with us, that authority has been given to him. And we also have this great vision that we can be missionaries to our own families. This is something that he wants for all people, but he's placed you specifically in the midst of your family so that you are able to be the one who's able to bring faith to your parents. And so it's a great honor and privilege that we have that we can be missionaries in this way, sharing the good news of God, the good news of Christ with our family. So when it comes to reaching out to parents, there are some unique things or issues or barriers that we have that are a little different than people you meet in your class or at work or in your neighborhood. And so I wish we had time so I could just hear what you guys have to say about all the unique things that you struggle with. I'm sure there are many, but I just have a few that I want to touch on. The first thing is that it's backwards. God's design really would be for parents to be instructing their children on what it would mean to walk in faith. But because we live in a broken world, sometimes it's going to be the children who get the opportunity to reach their parents. This brings up a special problem sometimes with parents with regard to pride, because they may feel like they should be the one, they may feel shame or irritation, they should be the one who is sharing this with you, and it may be harder for them to hear at times that you found something that they didn't have. Also, another unique thing about long-term relationships is that there's often deep hurt or bitterness because of years of relating in a broken world. Many of us have long-standing hurt in our families, and that can be a barrier to sharing our faith. What can happen too is, because we do love our families and because we do want them to come to Christ, I don't know how many times I went to hang out with my dad, and I would go with this great intention of how I was going to have this excellent spiritual discussion, and then I would wimp out, or you know, something else would distract me or something like that. And then with family, we can get an excessive amount of guilt because we are having a hard time bringing up something that we think is so important. And so that can be a barrier for some of us. It can be a very emotionally charged situation. You know, in families, it's so funny. No one can make you more mad more quickly than someone in your family just using a certain tone. It's like a built-in response that we have at times that's super emotionally charged. And what happens is, when we have that, it makes it harder for us then to kind of, you know, even though we're new creatures in Christ, we've been transformed by God, we have the Holy Spirit, it makes it hard sometimes for us to react in a way that's going to be representing him. And also, sometimes we've been really bad examples. I mean, no one has seen you at your worst as much as your parents have. They've seen every part of your rebellious spirit, every part of your fallenness, every part of your rolling the eyes. And so sometimes it's hard for them to hear from us because they see how messed up we are. Also, there's another thing that I put here that I'm just calling normal relating. Another weird thing is that when you're in a family structure, you can be like a transformed person with your friends, and then you go back to hang out with your family, and suddenly you're back in the same position that you were with your family growing up. So it's very weird. You know, I know I have a younger brother, and it's so funny because my older brother and I still treat him like he's the younger brother, even though he's a grown man. But there's something weird with us that when we go into that situation, we can end up reverting back to our old style of relating. And then finally, for some of us, we come from really hard, unhealthy situations where maybe there's been no boundaries. Some of you guys might be coming from super broken relationships, and that can be hard. And then for some of us, we come from maybe really healthy families that we don't, it's hard to share our faith because maybe they don't see their need, or sometimes it can just be challenging because we don't see, you know, we kind of see them as being kind of together, and it can be hard for us to get that burden to share our faith. So no matter what it is, and you guys might have your own list, it's just that family comes with a really different kind of dynamic, and we already have some built-in barriers. So what we're going to talk about today, this is where you might be a little disappointed, because the reality is there's no formula for this. I wish we could stand up here and say, if you do this and this, you'll get this result. But the reality is that's not the kind of God we have, which is good. We have a personal God who deals with each of us personally, who works in everyone's life. And so that's just not the way he is. So we can't guarantee the result of some of the things that we're going to talk about. But one of the things you can be guaranteed of is that God wants to transform you through this process. That as you begin to learn to love your parents more effectively, you can bank on the idea that God will transform you. That he is in the business of changing us into people who are more effective at loving other people. And that is a promise that you can cling to. Yes, you can also cling to the idea that if you share the gospel with them, they're going to be able to at least hear it. We can't guarantee what decision they'll make, but we can guarantee that he's going to continue to work on you and give you new insight and new character development that you wouldn't have had if you didn't choose to love your parents. So we're going to focus on three areas. The first one is God's role, then mindset, and then we're going to get into a little bit of practical stuff.
All right, so we're going to talk about God's role when it comes to reaching out to our parents. And actually, when I first started reaching out to my parents, I had this mindset that it was all on my shoulders. And if I messed up, then my parents would never become Christians, and it was all on me. And that was pretty discouraging, because I forgot that I have a big God that really loves my parents and wants to see them in heaven, and that he is totally behind me trying to share my faith with my parents. And so it's important for us to understand his role in us reaching our parents and have a bigger picture of what God's doing. And so one of his roles is that he convicts people of their need for him. John 16:8 says, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So I've actually had to pray through this verse with my dad, because my dad doesn't really see a need for God, or that Christ is righteous and that he's a sinner and needs God's forgiveness. So I've had to pray through this verse, and this has been helpful, knowing that it's not my responsibility to convict my dad of his need for Christ, but God will do that. Next, we see that God will lead us. Luke 12:12 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." I've come into some conversations with my parents where I don't really know what to say, or I'm scared and I don't have the words, and so I'll quickly pray to God and say, "Lead me in this," and he will lead you, and he'll teach you what to say, it says, in that very hour. So we can trust that God is going to lead us in this journey of reaching out to our parents. Also, he's going to empower us. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." So we see that we have the Holy Spirit that gives us power. That is God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us and is empowering us when it comes to sharing our faith with our parents, with loving our parents, which is really exciting, because at times I'll go into conversations and I'll be really scared and timid, and I'll fumble over my words because for some reason it's really scary to talk to your parents about your faith. I'm not sure why, but it is. And so I've seen that God has given me power where I walk away from that conversation and I'm like, wow, God, you totally came through because that was not me there. So we can trust that God will empower us. God will also open doors for us. Colossians 4:3 says, pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. I've seen this going into maybe a family vacation where I'm just praying, God, I want to talk to my stepmom about you. I want to talk to her about what she thinks about you. I'm not really sure how I'm going to make that happen or how I'm going to get into this conversation. Please open a door for me, God. And he totally does, and even when we least expect it. And so when we're praying for open doors with our family, what's important is that we're looking for the open doors, and then we're taking action once he opens the door for us. God will also place people in their lives. So I tend to think that it's just me. I'm the only Christian that will ever talk to my parents, and so I better do well at that. But we've actually seen that if we're praying for God to place someone in their lives, that will most of the time happen. And Liz knows plenty of examples of people who have prayed for someone, another Christian to be in their life, and there'll be someone who has like a coworker that works with your parent that will start sharing the gospel with them and coming alongside them. So yeah, we can be praying that God will place people in their lives, and God will want to do that. Also, it's important for us to remember that God doesn't want anyone to perish without an opportunity to come to know him. So God, it says in 1 Timothy 2, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. So I'm convinced that your mom or your dad or your stepmom or your stepdad is not going to go through this life without ever getting the chance to hear the gospel and then to make a decision. Do they want to receive that? Do they want to start a relationship with God? Or do they want to reject that? But I'm convinced that God will allow everyone to have the opportunity to at least hear the gospel and make a decision for themselves. And so it's important for us to understand God's role and reflect on this when it comes to reaching out to our parents. All right.
So yeah, undergirding everything, of course, is God's role, because we can't do anything without him. We are on a spiritual endeavor when we're trying to share our faith. That means that we need the Holy Spirit to be doing the work. So we get to be tools used by him, but it's sweet to be able to rest knowing God actually is going to be beside us, before us, and he's going to be doing the work. But when it comes to mindset, we've picked a few things: biblical love, prayer, gratitude, and spiritual attack that we think are particularly important for us to be girding our minds and thinking about as we get ready to try to love our parents. Remember, we're entering a field where it's a little bit backwards, it can be awkward, there can be a lot of emotionally charged things, and so our mindset is always important, but it's going to be particularly important as we try to reach our parents. So the first thing that we need to do, because we're trying to love them, is we need to align our thinking with the biblical view of love. And the verse that I'm going to talk about here is 1 John 4:9 and following, where it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So here we have a picture of the kind of love that God has practiced with us. And you notice that he doesn't say, love them because they deserve it. He doesn't say, love them because it will make you feel good. But what he does say is that we need to love because Christ first loved us. That our basis for love is going to be based on his love for us. And there's two important qualities of this that I think are particularly poignant when it comes to reaching parents, because we don't think this way about our parents usually. The first one is that God initiated love. He didn't wait for us to initiate love with him. He sent his Son. So we need to learn to initiate love with our parents. This is a little bit also backwards, because we grow up always being cared for by our parents. They're the ones who tend to initiate love with us. And so for us to start to think, okay, I have a relationship with Christ, He initiated with me, I'm now going to learn how to initiate love with my parents, is a huge shift in thinking. Also, it's important to realize that we can't expect our unsaved parents to know how to initiate loving us in the way that we think that they should love us, which can get difficult because we can get irritated that they're not, you know, that we're learning all this stuff about what love really looks like from God's perspective, and they're not loving us that way, and that can be difficult. But we have to have our right thinking about the fact that we understand that love because we're getting to know Christ. And so as we start thinking about them, we can think about how we can initiate that kind of love with them. The other thing is that God is sacrificial. He sent His Son. Actual biblical love is costly. It cost Him His most precious Son to come to this earth to die at the hands of His own creation so that we could come into a relationship with Him. That is a huge sacrifice. And again, this is kind of backwards, because we most of the time, and I realize there's people of different ages, and sometimes this shifts at some point when you get older and you're sort of taking care of your parents and you kind of become the one who's sacrificing for them. But in general, we've taken a lot from our parents. They're the givers to us. In fact, if you look at books on how to love your parents, there's hardly anything. It's all about how parents should love children. And so this is a different way of thinking that we can actually initiate and sacrifice with our parents. So here's a few rhetorical questions just to get you thinking about your own mindset. How often do you offer to help with the dishes or chores? Is your time with parents an opportunity to have a conversation or to nap? How often do you snap at your parents? How often are you just at your parents' house for food or money? How long does it take you to respond to your parents' text? How often do you roll your eyes at your parents, either physically or mentally? And then this is a little bit for somebody maybe who is a little bit further along in life. How often do you resent listening to the same story or helping to take care of your parents? These are all questions designed to just get us thinking about how are we doing in this idea of actually initiating love and sacrifice. Because if we want to represent Christ, those are two qualities that He has in abundance that He wants us to be able to share with them.
All right. So the next thing we're going to talk about with mindset is prayer. And what's important when it comes to reaching our parents is that we are going to be laying a foundation of prayer for our parents, because that's including God and remembering God's role. And so we want to be including God on us talking to Him about our parents. And so the first part when it comes to praying for our parents is praying to see our parents as God sees them. This is vital and so important, because if we're honest with ourselves, or at least for me, I saw my parents as people that raised me for 18 years. We lived in the same house. I would say hi to them. They would take me on vacations. But I didn't really know them that well, and I didn't really see them as God sees them. And so how does God see our parents? Well, God sees them as lost and as loved. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So God sees your parents as someone that He created in His image, and that is a sinner, and has chosen against Him, and is lost, and has a God-shaped hole in their heart for a relationship with Christ, but they are lost, and they haven't started a relationship with God, and God is chasing after them and wants a relationship with them. Do we see our parents as lost? And do we see them as loved? John 3:16, it's a classic verse that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So even though your parents are lost, God loves them so much that He died on the cross for your parents. Do we understand that? do we see God, or do we see our parents as loved by God? And so this is going to be crucial for us actually developing a mindset for loving our parents, is seeing them as lost and as loved. And then next, what does it look like to pray for our parents? What are some other practical ways to pray for our parents? Well, first it might be developing a burden for them. We can be honest with God and say, God, I don't really have a burden for my parents. I have a burden for coworkers or for friends or even my siblings, but I don't really have a burden for my parents. Please help give me a burden for my parents, and God wants to provide for that. For some of us in our prayer time, it might be praying through forgiveness for our parents. And we'll talk about this a little at the end of our session today. But like Liz talked about, maybe our parents have hurt us in the past. And so we're coming to God and praying to forgive our parents and asking Him to help us with that. Maybe it's a change of heart from us. Maybe our heart is so hardened towards our parents, or maybe we don't think that our parents will ever start a relationship with God someday. So our heart is hardened toward the fact that we can share our faith with them and they may be responsive to God. And so it's asking God for a change of heart. And God totally wants to change our heart. And maybe it's a softened heart towards Christ for your parents. Maybe we're praying for that. Ezekiel 36:26, I pray through this when it comes to my dad. It says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so it's not our job to soften our parents' hearts, but God wants to soften their hearts. And like I said earlier, I've seen my dad's heart be softened over the past several years. I have confidence that God will continue to soften his heart. And it might take longer than I expected, but God is in there softening my dad's heart towards Christ. Like I said, this is going to be crucial. Instead of us just taking action, talking to our parents about Christ and loving them, we also need to be talking to God about our parents. So we need to be remembering to be praying for our parents. I love this quote. This is from a book called Bringing the Gospel Home by Randy Newman, which I really recommend you guys read if you want more material on reaching not just your parents, but other family members. And Randy Newman says, when we pray for the salvation of our family, we release them to God. We relinquish a prideful belief that their salvation is dependent on us. We admit that perhaps the only thing we can do is pry. Our prayers work in two directions. They pry loose our fingers from the control we thought we had on our relatives, and they ask God to work in wooing ways in their hearts. Our prayers for our family may steer us in directions we haven't anticipated. And I actually saw this when it came to reaching my mom, or my stepmom. A couple of years ago, I was just sitting down during my daily time with God, and I was praying, and God placed on my heart to pray for my parents. So I started praying for them, and He told me to get a book for my parents, a book for each of them. It was not just The Carpenter, which is a book that I haven't even read, but God was like, give them this book, because it's about Christ and the life of Christ. And I wrote in the front cover of the book about the fact that I have dedicated my life to Christ, and I realized that you guys don't really know who Christ is. Who is this guy that I dedicated my life to? And so I encourage them to read that book if they are more interested in learning about my faith. And I also included the gospel in it. And so I gave it to both my parents, and my stepmom was really interested in it, and she read half the book, and we talked about that a little bit. And I actually initiated asking her if she wanted to read Discovering God with me. And so we started reading that every week together, and she really enjoyed that and was learning a lot. And she got to the point where halfway through us reading that book, she said, how do I start a relationship with God? And I was like, I can tell you that. And so I explained how Christ died for her, and she was like, I want to do this. And so she actually accepted Christ that next week, and that was so cool. And I saw that God, when I was praying for my family, He totally steered me in a direction I didn't anticipate. And so I am confident that praying for our parents, God will totally take us and steer us in ways that we don't anticipate. The next thing about mindset that we're going to talk about is gratitude. And so what does it look like to practice gratitude for our parents? Maybe this is something we don't do much. Randy Newman says, thank your family for all that they did that was good and right and supportive, even if there are tons of other things that they did wrong. It was only after I humbled myself before the Lord that I could do the same before my parents. And that's when they started to listen to me. So this is vital. Is us thinking through what did our parents do right? What did they do good? Maybe there's things that they did wrong, but what did they do good? And our parents will start to notice that shift when we're more grateful for them and grateful for the things that they did. And we see that that's when maybe they'll start listening to us. And so what does it actually look like to practice gratitude towards my parents? Well, for some of us, it might take us just asking God to understand the sacrifices that they made for us. So it's sitting down and just being like, God, I don't really know the sacrifices they made. Help enlighten me. Help open my heart to understanding the sacrifices that they made. And then we can be developing a more positive focus, because we might have a negative focus and just hone in on only the bad things and only the ways that they mess us up. But we want to be developing a positive focus. So it might take actually just sitting down and writing down things that we're thankful for. This can be really helpful because it makes it more concrete and we have an objective list to look at. And we can go even a step further and take a step to thank our parents. Most of the time I thank my parents if they like pay for dinner when we go out to dinner, or if they give me money. That's about all I thank my parents for. But we can actually be thinking through, after maybe we've written this list or prayed through how we think our parents have impacted us, we can be thanking them for things like, hey, I really appreciated that all the while I was growing up, you took me to my sports practices and actually supported me. That was really cool. Thank you. Or you can thank your parents. Thank you for the fact that you take me on these really awesome vacations and I really enjoy the time that we get to spend together. And our parents will start to notice a shift in our attitude, our mindset. And this will be helpful for us learning to love our parents better too when we develop a gratitude focus. The last part of mindset that we're going to talk about is spiritual attack. And so if you guys haven't been paying attention at all today, please pay attention to this, because this is crucial. Satan is mad at the fact that we want to reach our parents that are lost and loved by God. And so his ultimate goal is to convince you that your parents aren't going to be saved. And it is so easy to fall into this mindset. And so when I'm thinking these thoughts of, you know, my dad's never going to come to know Christ. It's been 6-7 years and he's budged a little bit, but I don't really know if he's ever going to come to know Christ. I have to recognize that that's lies from Satan, who doesn't want to see him start a relationship with God. And then I match that up with truth. And what does God say about my dad? What does God say about him? And so one of my favorite verses, and if you guys don't have this verse like highlighted and starred and underlined, please do that in your Bible. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. It said he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." And so when I'm starting to fall into the lies that my dad's never going to be saved, I look at this verse and I recognize that God wants my dad to be saved. And it gives me the encouragement to stick in with my dad and to continue to pray for him and to continue to love my dad. And so we have to be aware that throughout the whole journey of us reaching our parents, Satan will be crouching at our door. We don't want to be unaware of that. And I've actually seen when it comes to reaching my parents and sharing my faith with them, or even after they've become Christians and we're just talking about God, that I get more attack when it comes to sharing my faith with my parents or just loving my parents than anything else. I get more attack than it comes than reaching out to my friends or people that I work with. And it's really weird, but I think it's because of the fact that Satan has a hold on our family members if it's a family where there's a lot of non-believers. And he knows that if our family members don't come to know God, that can really hurt us, and that really tears us up more than just our friends or maybe our coworkers or our neighbors. And so we see Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we don't want to be unaware of that. We don't want to be discouraged when we see that we are experiencing attack when it comes to reaching out and loving our parents. And I've seen this with my dad, especially because it's been a long journey with my dad. I remember a couple of years ago, we were talking through biblical objections and questions that he has. And it was a really big breakthrough conversation because we really hadn't talked that much about God or the Bible at all. And so I was really excited about this. And I actually asked him, "Hey, Dad, would you want to study these objections that you have? Do you want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about them?" And he was all for it. I was like, "Yes, this is so exciting. We'll start doing this. We'll do a couple months of a study." And the whole time I was talking to him, I felt kind of funny. And I was like kind of looking over his head, and I could see there was like this dark cloud. It makes me sound crazy, but it was actually, I kind of realized that Satan was really mad at this conversation, making me feel really funny. And so I walk away from this conversation, go into my car. I'm like, yay, breakthrough conversation. And then I just break down crying, like uncontrollable crying. And I realize that it's because Satan was mad and he was attacking me for having this conversation because it was moving my dad one step closer to God and to Christ. And so don't be surprised and don't be discouraged when this happens. And don't give up even if you're experiencing attack from Satan, because Christ defeated Satan at the cross and God is so much bigger than Satan. All right.
So now we're going to just touch on some practical things that could be helpful in trying to learn to love your parents. And the first thing we're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about listening. We're going to talk about initiating love, and specifically about love languages. And we're going to talk about initiating spiritual discussions. And so the first topic is listening. We actually, as a culture, we actually have a really hard time listening to anything and remembering, but especially our parents. I mean, we have, when my daughter was a teenager, she had a look that we called flat eyes, where we'd be talking to her and she would be looking at us, but we could tell that somehow her eyes were gazing at us, but she had completely checked out and wasn't paying attention to anything that we were saying. And so we are particularly gifted at kind of tuning out our parents' voices. And also, the reality is that even when we're trying to listen, there's some varied statistics on this stuff, but we spend 45% of our time in life listening, and yet many people believe that we only remember like 20%. So we're already working at a deficit in terms of listening. Then you put on top of that we've learned how to tune out our parents, and also all the distractions that we have. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this has like gone down. This is a stat from 1960. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually have become less and less effective at listening. And yet, if you want to know anything about a person, you have to learn to listen to them. It's the way that we can learn to love is by getting to know our parents. And so God has a high ethic of listening. This is actually one of the things that he values heavily. James 1:19 says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." And then Proverbs 18:2 says, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." And we know what that's like, right? To be in a conversation and just be waiting to say what we want to say next. Well, in order to love our parents more effectively, we've got to figure out a way to actually pay attention to what they're saying. So Paul Little, in his book, How to Give Away Your Faith, says, "The voice any person likes to hear best is his own. Everyone likes to talk, but some do more than others. Many people would give anything to find someone who would just listen to them. When we listen long enough, we not only begin to know and understand an individual, we also gain his gratitude and his willingness to listen to us, enabling us later to speak relevantly to him." This is a way to actually show great transformation to your parents if you begin to change in being interested in them and listening to them. And one of the best ways to become a good listener is to become an excellent question asker. So of course you still have to listen to the answer. I mean, you can be a good question asker and not listen, but a way to get to know someone is to actually become somebody who's really good at asking questions, following up those questions, asking the next question after that, and actually getting to know your parents. I can't tell you how many, I taught high school for 32 years, and I often would talk to students about what their parents do for a living, for example, and so many students didn't know the first thing about what their parents do. They could say, "My dad is a manager," but to actually know anything, and that's just about like something like career, not even about personal personal interest. So I have a few examples of types of questions, but of course, there's many that you could research on this. But one is sort of like a wondering question, like what's your favorite fill in the blank, trying to figure out what your parents, you know, what was your favorite memory when you were young? What's your favorite book? What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite whatever? You know, like what was your first date like? What was blah, blah, blah? Like things that we just don't typically think to ask. And then there's also clarifying questions. This can be helpful for increasing our ability to communicate clearly with our parents. I'm hearing you say this. Is that correct? You seem upset. Is there something not sitting right about this? So when you're in the middle of a conversation, paying attention enough that you can clarify if you're understanding what they're saying. And then also agitating questions, like, what do you think about the idea that I want to live my life with Christ? These kinds of questions can be things that can get our parents thinking, and we can get information about what they actually think about how we're living. But the reality is that probing and thoughtful questions will enable you to learn about them. And what's interesting is, as they talk with you, it can help them to see some of the flawed thinking that they have. It helps you to see it, but it also can help your parents to see it as well. And it is a way that often, when the more we develop the ability to have those kinds of conversations, the more likely, again, not guaranteed, but the more likely that they might be open to hearing about what we are also thinking about spiritual things. And then in terms of trying to initiate love, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. You can find out all kinds of information on the web. Most of you are probably familiar with Love Languages by Gary Chapman. But this idea of words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, physical affection, acts of service. The idea is that we all have ways that we feel more loved. And if we can figure out what those are with our parents, we can love them more effectively. So if you can figure out that your mom or dad likes quality time, then even though you're busy, maybe the best way to love them is to go out for coffee, or, you know, make sure you get time where you're actually together. Or if you find out that your parents' love language is acts of service, maybe when you go over to the house, you go over with the idea that I'm actually going to mow the lawn, or I'm actually gonna do dishes today, or something like that. It's just, these are ways that as you get to know the way your parents feel loved, you will be more effective at loving them if you're able to put into practice the thing that makes them feel more loved. We actually taught a class on this in the winter, and we asked how many of you guys know your own love language, and everyone raised their hand, and we said, how many know your parents' love language? And like 5 people out of 70 raised their hand. So I think it's something that, again, we're just not that great at. So the idea is obviously to pray about how you can initiate love with your parents in a way that's gonna really make them see that you are loving them, which is, again, part of that transformation that they're gonna see in your life.
Sweet. All right. So now we're gonna go into talking about initiating spiritual discussions with our parents. So we've learned to love them, we're praying through them. And now, how do we actually initiate spiritual discussions with them? Well, first, I want you guys to realize that you guys are in such a unique position to talk to your parents about spiritual things. And the reason behind that is we realized when we taught our class in the winter that most parents don't have many people to talk to outside their nuclear family. They don't have people that they feel are safe for them to talk to about deep things like God or the afterlife or what's the meaning of life. And so our parents actually feel more safe talking to their family members, even their kids, about these spiritual things and maybe their worldviews. So we want to understand that this is a context, and we are in a unique position when it comes to talking to our parents about God or about their worldviews. I gave you guys, we have this handout that's the decision continuum, except for it's modified for your parents. So this is something that can be helpful for you guys after this class to look at, to kind of pinpoint where your parents are at. so you can recognize what are some actions, what are some things you can pray for your parents, and what are some questions that you can ask them, depending on maybe they're hostile and they're really against God and they don't want to talk about God at all, they shut down any conversation, or maybe they're curious. And so how do you start to ask questions or pray through your parents with that? And so some sample questions that we have are, do you ever think much about spiritual things? So this could be a parent that's disinterested and you've never heard them talk anything about God or any worldview that they have. So this can start to probe them and get them thinking, what do you think about any spiritual things ever? And start talking to them about that. Get their wheels spinning in their brain. And then another question is, what's your worldview or spiritual background? So maybe even you have a parent that's hostile and doesn't want to talk to you about your beliefs, but you can just ask them, you know, in a really patient, kind way, I want to know what you believe. What's your worldview? Like, I'm interested in that. And that can help them to let down their guard because they're able to explain that to you. And maybe they'll want to, if you listen to them and are patient with them and loving towards them when they're explaining this, maybe that'll give you a chance to talk to them about what you believe and they'll feel less defensive. What are some questions you have about the Bible or God? So maybe this is for a parent that's curious or they're interested in God and they don't really have an outlet to ask questions. And so this can be a good thing to do to see what questions that they have. And maybe you'll see if you ask your parent, what questions do you have about the Bible or God, that maybe they're really close to accepting Christ. They just need one or two questions that they have answered. And so this can be a really good question to get them thinking about this and to know where your parents are at when it comes to wanting to know God. And then another question that can be good is, what do you think it means to be a Christian? So maybe they have some really skewed views of being a Christian. So this can help you to understand what they think it means to be a Christian, maybe some views that they have about your life that you can help to clarify for them. And it can also help you guys maybe to look at the Bible and let's look at what the Bible says to be a Christian after you've asked them about that. So this can just start to open some conversations with your parents and can be a springboard for future conversations with your parents as well. So I really encourage you to look that over. Other things that we have when it comes to initiating spiritual discussions with your parents, creatively weave the gospel into conversation. So I've been looking for ways and different opportunities to weave the gospel to talk about Christ to my parents, whether that's holidays are awesome. So if it's Easter or Christmas, you're automatically talking about Jesus. So you can be like, do you know what it actually means for Jesus to raise from the dead and why that's so cool? And so you can be explaining that to your parents during the holidays. Or even you can use this in times of tragedy, maybe when a family member or a close family friend has passed away. You can be using this as an opportunity to explain about heaven or ask them what they believe about the afterlife and maybe share what you believe. And you can be creatively weaving the gospel in this way. So be thinking through and brainstorming ways that you can weave the gospel into conversation with your parents. You can be encouraging investigation with them. So what I've actually done with my dad and my stepmom is I figured out things that they want to learn more about. And so I've actually asked them, do you want to read this with me? We can read this book together, and maybe we can look at this passage and what this passage says about this question that you have. And so it's helpful because it gives you a platform to be able to talk to them about the things of God. And also, they actually really enjoy this. Say that you are reading a book, like I talked about how I read Discovering God with my stepmom, and you're reading that with one of your parents, and you're setting up every week after family lunch, we're going to read this book together. Well, they look forward to that because they really like spending time with you. And if you're like in college or even graduated from college, they probably don't see you that much. And so they really look forward to the fact that they're going to get your time for an hour, even if it's talking about the things of God. And this is helpful because you know that you're going to be talking about God every week, so you don't have to be thinking through like awkward ways to be like, so have you thought much about God recently? Because every week you guys are opening a book or the Bible and reading that together. You can be exposing them to the body of Christ. So I like to brainstorm ways of, who are friends that I have that have parents that might be able to come alongside me when it comes to reaching out to my parents? Or even with me, I had Liz as my English teacher, was in high school. And so I actually talked to my mom about getting involved in a adult home church. And she didn't really know Liz at all, but I told her, you know, my English teacher Liz is in an adult home church. Would you want to go to that? And my mom was like, yeah, sure, sounds great. I was like, wow, that was easy. And so that can be really good for us to brainstorm ways that they can meet other adults and be thinking about that. Or even with my stepmom before she became a Christian, me and my roommate, Eleanor, her mom is like a home church leader, and so me and her set up a time for us to go get dinner together. So her and her mom and my stepmom, and so they got to meet and become friends, and now they're buddies and they text all the time. And so that was really cool for us to be initiating this hangout and exposing them to adults who are following God. We can consider writing letters. So this could be either for a parent that's kind of hostile and won't really talk much to you about God and will shut you down every time you talk about that. Maybe a letter could be good, or maybe a parent that doesn't live in the same state as you or country as you, this can be helpful to write a letter. And when we taught this class, there's actually someone who wrote a letter to their dad, and we saw that that letter made a huge impact on him, and he actually came to know Christ a while after that. But that letter was really crucial for him starting a relationship with God. Also, sharing your testimony couldn't be so great when it comes to talking to your parents about God. And now, why is this? Well, maybe your parents saw you become a Christian and they thought that this was just going to be a phase, kind of like that time you thought you'd be emo for a little bit. And so then they realized it's been 8 years and they're still a Christian. Why is this? And you can help them to realize who you were before you start a relationship with God, why you decided to accept Christ, and then why you decide to actually dedicate your life to God. And so this can be helpful for them to understand, you know, the change that you had in your life and how the change was due to God and to having a relationship with Christ. And now I want to make I'm going to say don't talk to your parents about if you had like a broken relationship with your parents and that really has to do with your testimony. Don't put that into your testimony. You just don't need to because that can cause some unnecessary strain. So cut that out. I'm sure there's a lot of other good things about your relationship with God and ways that you've grown with him. So just be careful of that. And then also be taking take advantage of special opportunities, whether it's vacations, holidays. I like to do a family meal with my dad and my stepmom and my sister once a week. Phone conversations if they don't live in the same state as you. Or even bringing your friends around the body of Christ. Sometimes I'll bring my friends or my roommates to lunch with my family, or I'll invite a roommate to my sister's birthday party so they're able to meet people that are following God and be able to be around the body of Christ. And actually this makes vacations or holidays so much more exciting instead of just dreading it, being like, oh, no, this family vacation is coming up and I have to spend a whole week with my parents and I'm going to go crazy. Instead of having this negative outlook, we can be thinking, how can I be loving my parents during this vacation? How can I be praying for them? How can I be praying for open doors? And this has made my vacation so much more enjoyable when I can look back and point to the fact that me and my dad talked about heaven in depth during a car ride that we had when we were going on vacation together. And that was really crucial for him growing closer to learning more about God. So this can make vacations or holidays so much more exciting. Be taking advantage of those special opportunities. And so now we're gonna move on. We're wrapping up here and we're gonna move on to a special topic, and this is forgiveness. I talked about this for a few seconds earlier. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us have something that we're holding on to when it comes to our parents of bitterness or a way that they've hurt us, and we're holding on to that, whether it's something, a pattern that we saw in our relationship with them, or maybe one thing that they said to us early on that really impacted how we view ourselves. And I'm sure you guys can think about ways that maybe your parents have hurt you, and maybe you're holding on to bitterness for that. And we see Joanna Weaver says, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So we're holding on to this bitterness towards our parents, and we're hoping that that affects them, but it actually affects us more, and it impacts our ability to love our parents. And to be honest, it's really hard to love and share your faith with your parents if you're holding on to this bitterness and this resentment. And so we see that God calls us in Colossians 3:13 to bear with one another and forgive each other if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that even means forgiving your parents, recognizing that God has forgiven you for so much and that he is going to give you the ability to forgive your parents. Why? Because he's forgiven you. And you can demonstrate God's forgiveness to them if you forgive them as well. So before we talk about this, I'm just going to give one example of forgiveness with my parents. So when it came to sharing my faith with my mom, I realized that I had some really serious hurt from stuff that just the way our relationship was when I was a senior in high school. And so then I decided She hurt me so much that I'm just not going to talk to her. So for about a year, I just gave her the cold shoulder and I just ignored her. I would like walk in after school and she's like, hey, Nina, what's up? I'd be like, hi, mom, and then like leave. And that was the extent of our conversation for about a year. And so then it got kind of bad because my bitterness really built up towards her and I wanted her to know God, but I really didn't like her that much. And I realized it was really bad when I was a freshman in college and I thought, one day I will get married. And the fact that my mom has to sit front row at my wedding sounds horrible. So I'm just not gonna get married. And that's when I knew that it was bad. And I realized, maybe I should forgive my mom. And so I actually started, as much as I didn't want to, I realized that God was calling me to forgive her and to love her because he forgave me. And so I started this path of forgiveness and it just looked like at one point saying, God, I forgive her. I don't feel this way, but I choose to forgive her. And then day after day, there'd be new things that would come up and I'd feel my bitterness kind of rising up. I'd be like, no, God, I forgave her and I'm going to choose to forgive her again. And I would actually move towards her in love even when I didn't want to love her. And now this has been a few years later. She started a relationship with God along this period of time. And it's been a few years later and I can actually say that I can hang out with my mom and I actually really enjoy it. And I really love my mom a lot, and I've seen that this has really helped me with sharing my faith with her, but also with loving her. And so if this is something that God has really placed on your heart, that maybe there's something that you're holding on to against your parents, you're not going to get far if you don't forgive them. So I really encourage you to start praying about that, talking to God about that, talk to other people, and then start to choose to forgive them. Yeah.
All right, last thing with regard to our parents is the idea that perseverance is super important. Just as we've talked about, there's so many aspects of trying to learn how to love our parents, and God is going to be transforming you. But of course, we need to prepare ourselves for the fact that we are going to fail at times, and luckily God's grace covers that. But knowing that it's going to be difficult can be helpful. Also, sometimes we have to adjust our timeline with dealing with our parents. For me, it was like a whole lifelong, my dad's whole life that I was trying to share my faith with him. Some of you may be fortunate and the first time you share your faith with your parents, they come to Christ and that's fantastic. Some of us, sometimes we have to adjust our timeline because our parents are ill or something. So we need to speed up and realize that we're in a special circumstance and we need to go ahead and just and talk more candidly early. So each person is going to have their own timeline, but we need to realize that sometimes sharing our faith with parents can take longer because of our relationship with them, because of their state of life. So we need to pray for endurance, of course, God's perspective, and of course, luckily we have the Holy Spirit to empower us, but it may be a marathon if you know, depending on your situation. I pray that for many of you that's not the case. But I do want to leave you with this great verse. It's Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And really one of the strong things that Nina and I feel about this topic, what we hope is that you guys can grasp hold of the hope that there is, that you have a God who's at work, who's in your camp, who's your advocate, who's delighted in the fact that you want to be faithful in this way, and that he is going to be at work and he will work through you. And we have a God who went to great lengths as a sacrificial God so that we could come into a relationship with him. And that's the same God that's going to be mightily at work in you as you guys take steps of faith to continue to follow him and try to share your faith. So that's what we just want you to be encouraged about, that there's many stories of people coming to Christ, and we do have a God who's actively involved with you and with your parents.
Lord, just thank you so much for every single person in this room and the fact that you sought every single person out because they were lost and you love them and care for them and you died on the cross for them, Lord. So we praise you for that. And just thank you for the fact that they are missionaries for their own family, Lord. And just pray that there's something that you place on each person's heart that you want them to be thinking about, Lord. And pray that you can help us to remember what you think we need to remember, Lord. And just pray specifically for the parents of everyone in this room. Just pray that there'll be opportunities and open doors for conversations about you, Lord. And we pray that we'll see parents come to know you because of people's faithfulness to their parents, but also because you are faithful and you want to see them come to know you, Lord. So pray for a good rest of our conference tonight, Lord. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.